Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Failure of Laissez-Faire Capitalism, An Economic Dissolution of the West, is a work of political economy by Paul Craig Roberts, first published in 2013. Roberts, a former United States Treasury official and economic journalist, examines the gap between free market rhetoric and the institutional realities of modern capitalism. The book argues that policies commonly defended as laissez-faire have not produced broadly shared, durable prosperity in Western economies. Instead, Roberts links economic weakening to globalization, the relocation of productive capacity abroad, financial power, declining labor prospects, and the failure to treat environmental damage as an economic cost. Its purpose is both diagnostic and revisionist. It challenges familiar explanations of the post-financial crisis economy and questions assumptions associated with deregulation, unlimited growth, and orthodox market efficiency. Written for informed general readers as well as students of policy, the book combines historical context with criticism of prevailing economic ideas. It is not a neutral survey of competing schools. It is a sustained argument that prevailing policy frameworks obscure structural problems in the Western economic model. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the distance between laissez-faire ideals and corporate political power. A central distinction in the book is between an idealized picture of competitive markets and the actual organization of economic power. Roberts challenges the tendency to label policies laissez-faire merely because they favor deregulation, privatization, or reduced public constraints. In his account, modern economies are not composed of small, equally situated market participants responding only to prices. They contain large corporations, financial institutions, and governments whose decisions shape market access, risk, bargaining power, and public policy. This matters because a defense of market freedom can become a defense of arrangements that shift costs and protect concentrated interests. The argument does not simply claim that all markets fail. Rather, it questions whether a market can be judged free or efficient when powerful actors can influence rules while less powerful groups bear adverse consequences. By focusing on this contradiction, Roberts reframes debates that are often presented as a simple choice between government and markets. His concern is the institutional design of both. A government that serves narrow interests is not an answer to private power, but neither is the removal of safeguards automatically a route to genuine competition. The result is a critique of economic language that treats deregulation as self-validating, without asking who gains authority, who assumes risk, and whether the public interest is represented. Secondly, globalization and offshoring as a loss of productive capacity. Roberts treats globalization and offshoring as structural forces rather than as isolated business decisions. The standard case for international production emphasizes lower costs, comparative advantage, and cheaper goods for consumers. The book argues that this accounting is incomplete when firms move production, technical work, and related capabilities out of Western economies. A lower unit cost can benefit a company or purchaser in the short term while weakening domestic employment, wage growth, industrial knowledge, and the tax base over time. Roberts is especially concerned with the cumulative character of the process. When production networks relocate, supplier relationships, training opportunities, and practical expertise may relocate with them. The issue is therefore not limited to a particular factory closing or a temporary labor adjustment. It concerns the capacity of an economy to generate well-compensated work and to retain the knowledge embedded in making goods and delivering complex services. His analysis also challenges the assumption that displaced workers can readily move into higher-value employment. Such transitions require sufficient domestic demand for those jobs, accessible training, and an economy that continues to create them. By connecting corporate incentives to national economic consequences, the book argues that policy cannot evaluate globalization only through aggregate trade measures or lower retail prices. It must also consider distribution, productive resilience, and the long-term composition of employment. Thirdly, financialization and the limits of post-crisis recovery narratives. The book places considerable weight on the growing influence of finance over productive economic activity. Roberts questions accounts of recovery that rely heavily on headline indicators while leaving aside employment quality, household security, and the distribution of income and wealth. A financial system can report rising asset values or restored corporate profitability without producing a corresponding revival in broad-based productive opportunity. This distinction is important to his wider claim that economic policy has become detached from the conditions faced by ordinary workers and communities. Financialization, in this context, refers to the prominence of financial returns, debt relationships, and institutional interests in shaping economic priorities. Roberts sees danger when policy responses concentrate on stabilizing financial institutions while inadequately addressing the erosion of jobs, earnings, and domestic production. The argument is not that credit or finance is unnecessary. Modern economies require investment, payment systems, and risk management. The criticism is that these functions can become dominant ends in themselves, rewarded even when they do not strengthen the real economy. By questioning the meaning of recovery after the financial crisis, Roberts urges readers to distinguish between statistical improvement and substantive economic repair. His framework asks whether growth reaches employment and productive investment, whether gains are broadly shared, and whether the economic system is becoming more stable or merely more dependent on financial interventions. Fourthly, environmental costs exclude from conventional growth accounting. Environmental degradation is not treated as a separate moral concern appended to the economic argument. Roberts presents it as evidence that conventional economic accounting is incomplete. When corporations or consumers can use natural resources, create pollution, or impose health and ecological burdens without paying the full cost, market prices do not convey the complete social cost of production. Profits and measured output can then rise while natural wealth and public welfare deteriorate. This is the familiar problem of externalized costs, but the book connects it directly to its critique of laissez-faire assumptions. A system that recognizes private revenue while neglecting damage imposed on third parties cannot straightforwardly be described as efficient. Roberts also emphasizes the finite character of natural resources, challenging the presumption that continual expansion of material output can remain the overriding policy goal. The implication is not a simple rejection of economic development. It is a demand for measures and rules that recognize depletion, pollution, and long-term ecological constraints. This aspect of the book aligns its political economy with steady-state concerns mature economies must assess prosperity through more than ever-increasing production and consumption. The analysis broadens the definition of economic failure. A policy can appear successful in national accounts while transferring unpriced environmental liabilities to future generations and communities that did not receive the associated profits. Lastly, from empty world growth assumptions to a full world economics, Roberts draws on the contrast between an earlier economic worldview, formed when natural resources appeared abundant relative to human activity, and a modern world in which ecological limits are increasingly consequential. The book uses this contrast to question growth models that additional production is almost always an unqualified benefit. In an empty world setting, expanding man-made capital and output may plausibly dominate policy because natural systems seem vast and resilient. In a full world setting, however, the scale of economic activity itself can strain resources and ecosystems. Roberts argues that economics must adapt its assumptions accordingly. This does not mean that every form of growth is equally harmful, nor does it supply a detailed universal blueprint for a replacement system. Its principal contribution is conceptual. It makes clear that an economic theory designed around limitless expansion cannot adequately evaluate an economy operating within finite, natural boundaries. The book therefore points toward steady-state economics as a necessary area of reconsideration. Such a perspective asks how an economy can maintain welfare, employment, and social stability without relying on endless material throughput. It also sharpens the earlier critique of external costs, because resource exhaustion cannot be treated as someone else's problem indefinitely. By incorporating ecological scale into economic reasoning, Roberts argues for a framework that joins distributional, productive, and environmental questions rather than treating them as unrelated policy fields. In conclusion, this book is most useful for readers who want a forceful, accessible challenge to standard explanations of Western economic decline. It will interest students of political economy, globalization, labor markets, environmental economics, and public policy, as well as general readers dissatisfied with accounts that reduce economic health to stock prices, gross domestic product, or aggregate trade gains. Its practical intellectual benefit lies in the questions it trains readers to ask whether a policy shifts costs rather than eliminates them, whether short-term corporate efficiency weakens national productive capacity, and whether apparent recovery improves the material position of most households. Readers should approach it as an argument rather than a balanced textbook. Roberts writes from a clear critical position and presses his conclusions directly. That quality may invite disagreement, especially from readers committed to conventional free market or globalization frameworks. But it also gives the book analytical coherence. Compared with many critiques of neoliberalism, it stands out because its author brings experience in conservative policy circles and supply-side economics to a later criticism of the outcomes associated with deregulation and global integration. It also joins themes that are often considered separately: offshoring, financialization, inequality, environmental limits, and the legitimacy of economic measurement. The book is therefore valuable less as a technical manual than as a compact framework for examining the hidden assumptions behind claims that markets, growth, and globalization automatically serve the public good. Its enduring relevance rests on that insistence that economic outcomes be judged by social resilience and ecological reality, not ideology alone. If you would like to support Paul Craig Roberts, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.